Doctor, I've called you here today not because of my health, though my hands do bother me. I wash them a lot. But because of my wife. Several years ago, I had to condemn an innocent man to death. And she had a dream about that man. Told me not to have anything to do with him. But I could not. I was the governor. I had a job to do. And the Jews, they were in uproar. They'd have nothing else. So I had to condemn him. Ever since then, she's been dreaming that same bad dream. She hardly eats. She tries not to sleep. I think she's afraid of seeing his sad eyes in her dreams. I've told her repeatedly, forget about it. Just wash your hands of the whole thing. To no avail. She will not, or she cannot do it. Doctor, this false guilt is killing her. Can you help? You'd like to hear more about that man? All right. If you think it might help, that man, his name was Jesus, though sometimes they called him Christ. He was an itinerant rabbi. He went around preaching. He went around teaching. Sometimes he'd do miracles. And the Jews, by that I mean the Sanhedrin, the leading Jews, they hated him. I think they were jealous. And they looked for ways to get rid of him. Finally, they put out a reward and someone turned him in and they caught him. They caught him in a night and they had their own trials and proceedings and stuff. And, you know, and in the springtime when all the religions have their spring festivals, the Jews have their own festival, though they call it Passover. It's something different. At that time, with everybody in Jerusalem, and I was in Jerusalem, they caught him. They brought him to me first thing in the morning. But they wouldn't come into my palace. I had to go out to them, the edge of my property. It was annoying. So then, they brought him, they laid all these charges out, they didn't like this, they didn't like that, and Jesus just stood there, not saying a word. He was silent as a lamb. I said, Doctor, I tried to convince him to defend himself. Come on, man, don't you hear all these charges they're making against you? He wouldn't say a thing. I questioned him on this and that, and it wasn't until I asked something about his kingship that he answered. He said, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight for me. And then, doctor, he said something truly shocking. He said that everyone who knows the truth would come to him. But truth isn't like that. You and I, we're Romans. We know that truth is what victors tell losers it is. Isn't that right? So then, I went back. I said, I find nothing that bad with this man. I want to release him. And they said no. And they yelled and screamed and said this and that and on. And then they said something about Jesus' ministry started in Galilee. And I thought, oh, thank the gods. I can send him to Herod. That's what I did. Since it was the time of Passover, I sent him. Herod's palace was right adjacent to mine. I sent him over there. Now, Herod and I have never been close. But this gesture of sending Jesus to him, and he wanted to see Jesus for a long time. This gesture really pleased Herod. And we've been good friends ever since. But Jesus over at Herod's, he wouldn't say a word. Oh, and that got Herod so mad, he was just burning with anger. He didn't have to say a word. His men just started beating up on Jesus. And they did that for a while. When they felt he was sufficiently tenderized, then they threw a beautiful robe on him and sent him back to me. Here he is, looking bad. And this royal robe, dishonor and honor in the same picture. Then I tried some more. At this time of Passover, there's this tradition that the governor would release a prisoner of the people's choice. I wanted to release Jesus. But the chief priests, they said, ask him to release Barabbas. Barabbas? Barabbas was a real bad guy. He was a murderer.
Give us just a moment. We're going to get
if we release him this week, we'll probably have him back next week. A week later, what's the point? And about that time, my wife sent word to me that about that dream, have nothing to do with this righteous man. She didn't say a bad dream. She said, I have suffered greatly in a dream. I wish I could have. I tried to let him go, and they wouldn't have it. They kept calling for Barabbas, so I had him scourged. I told my guards, I said, do it up pretty good. I want to try and get some sympathy here. And they did. Oh my, they did. They whipped him. They beat him. Somehow they made a crown of these huge thorns, and they must have used tongs to put it on his head. Those thorns are so sharp. And they hit him with sticks, and they beat him, and they spit on him, and then they brought him back to me. Frankly, doctor, I was shocked at the change so quickly in how he looked. I brought him out again. Whom shall I release? Barabbas, the murderer, or Jesus, the rabbi? They still insisted that I release Barabbas. Why? What has he done? Then as they laid their charges again and went over everything they didn't like about him, they said something about him being the son of their God. The son of their God? You mean a demigod? I can't kill a demigod. I'll be struck by lightning. Or beasts will come out of the bushes and tear me asunder. This was not working out well. I promised I'll have him punished some more and then I'll release him. And they must have believed it, for that's when they pulled out their trump card. They said, if you release this man, you are no friend of Caesar. Implying they would report me to Caesar. And I was so angry with them. These Jews, they hate Caesar. These Jews, they hate Rome. And here they're telling me I'm not a friend of Caesar if I release this man. I was angry with them. But I was trapped. I had no choice. It was him or me. Innocent man though he may be, I'm not giving up my life for him. So I had some water brought. I washed my hands in front of them, and I said, I am not guilty of this man's blood. You take him and do with him as you want. Yet I didn't feel innocent. As I told my guards, I didn't feel innocent. As I issued the charge, I told my man, write the sign. The charge is King of the Jews. Make it in Greek, Latin, and Hebrew. Because I wanted every man, woman, and child that could read at all to read that charge. Now the Jews, they didn't like it. They wanted me to write, he claimed to be the King of the Jews. But they only voiced that complaint once. One look from me, they knew they'd pushed me too far and they shut up. I didn't feel innocent as I gave the order. I said, Antonius, my captain of the guard, get a cross piece, get a few men, and take Jesus out to where they're crucifying those two criminals. And crucify him this morning and come back and report to me. From noon until 3 that day, it was strangely dark, as though all of heaven was sad, as though a father turned away from his son and couldn't look at him. It was unnerving. My men told me that about 3 o'clock, Jesus breathed his last. He said, yelled something, and then he died. He was gone. By 3:30, a man was there, Joseph of Arimathea. He said he wanted Jesus' body. I'm going, nobody dies this quickly from crucifixion. So I sent a runner, go ask my centurion if Jesus is dead. And he ran, came back, yeah, he's dead. So I gave orders. All right, Joseph, you and your friend Nicodemus, you can take the body. And they did. They took it. They prepared it. They laid it in a tomb. And that should have been the end of it. But doctor, first thing the next morning, the Jews are back. This time they thought they were trying to be my friend. They wanted something more. I should have asked for a bribe. You didn't hear that. Right? You didn't hear that. You're accountable. But what they asked for seemed prudent. They said this rabbi had told people he was going to raise from the dead on the third day. So I said, all right, here's some guards, seal the tomb. Next morning, well, the Jews weren't back, but next morning something happened. And my men, they saw something, I don't know what. And the tomb was empty, and there was no body. Nobody had been there carrying off. No pack of men rolled that stone. Just gone. The Jews, they paid those guards a lot of money to perjure themselves, to tell a story that we fell asleep. And while we were sleeping, they rolled the stone away and took the body, and we just woke up long enough to see them get away. We couldn't do anything about it. But that's a lie. Sleeping on guard duty is a capital offense. So they paid them a lot to tell that lie, and then, I'll admit this, they paid me a lot to look the other way, to not do anything, at least till they'd had a chance to tell their story to a few people and maybe get away from Roman justice. For the next 40 days or so, there were reported sightings of Jesus here and Jesus there, and then they say he was gone. You would think that'd be the end of it. Herod doesn't like them. He's persecuted them in Jerusalem, and they've scattered like ants. You'd think that would be the end of it. But no, I think they're growing. These followers of the way, as they call themselves. And believe it or not, I've had some of them in front of me. They've told me that I need to apologize to this dead man, to this dead man's father. I am a Roman. I am a governor. It would be illegal for me to worship or apologize to this foreign god and this dead son of his. That'd be illegal. So, doctor, I think that's about the whole story. Can you help? I don't want more of just giving my wife powders and herbs. Can you help her get past this false guilt? You want to know about my hand washing? They hurt. They bother me. You say, what? You think it indicates that I feel some guilt? That it's some sort of crazy denial? It's not just my wife that's suffering, but me too? That's preposterous, doctor. I know, Dr. Luke, you came highly recommended by Theophilus. And it's evident that you're studying this group called the Way. But your ideas are crazy. I'm going to find someone who tells me things more to my liking. You know, what happened with Pilate? Was he removed or relocated or reinstated? We don't know. According to Wikipedia and some other articles, you have to go 200 or 300 years before you read anything more about him. And I'm sure, just like the liberty I took, it was far enough from the date that people felt comfortable in writing. Some of the writings will say that he remained a great Roman leader all of his life. Some of them go to the other extreme, and they say, no, he was converted, and he died a martyr's death in the Roman Colosseum. But there aren't any stories about lions jumping out of bushes and tearing him apart or being struck by lightning. Was Pilate guilty of Jesus' death? Yes, he was. Were the soldiers that crucified him guilty of Jesus' death? How about the Jews who insisted that he be crucified? What about the rest of us? Yeah, Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And I meant to say earlier, this vehicle of telling the story, that was fiction. But the story came pretty much out of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And you read all of those accounts. The question that a pastor would ask is, have you apologized to God and to Jesus Christ, not his dead son, but his risen son, Holy Spirit? Have you accepted that gift? If you've accepted that gift, then Easter is for you a great celebration. The price has been paid for your sins. You're free. If you've not made that apology, then what good is Easter to you? It's another holiday. It's another day to get together with family. But there's that gift, that precious gift of salvation. And it's just going to waste if you never open it. As we sing Victory in Jesus, it'll be on the screen. It's 3:52. Think about where you're at. And for the people, you know, most of us are church people, if not all. For the people that know Christ, then a pastor's question for you would be, are you growing? Or are you dying away? So think about whether you need to pray to receive Christ, pray to receive Him again, pray to make a deeper commitment, and enjoy singing Victory in Jesus with me. Father, we thank You for that victory, that victory that You had over sin. We thank You that You give victory to us. Victory, that means salvation. Victory, that means our debt is paid. And victory, to break the chains of sin that have bound us too long. Give us victory today and every day henceforth. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah.